If we place ourselves into the time of the gospel text and when itself was written, we see that St. Matthew places us in a world that does not necessarily recognize the Christ. Imagine having to combat on top of that, as the early days of Christianity move along, a pagan mindset in ancient Rome or in other parts of the world. This is something that is so obvious that we might sometimes fail to recognize just how much tremendous tension there was between two distinct worlds that were never supposed to meet in the minds of many. That is, the spiritual and the divine world, and that of the material and the human. For us, the story begins when Mary surrenders. She surrenders herself to the message of an angel, and she becomes the new Eve, so that Christ might become the new Adam. And this helps us to understand how God has been longing to be in union with us, his creation, from the very beginning. We hear in Genesis what is known as the Proto-Evangelium, or the very first gospel, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, which says, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. They will strike at your head while you strike at their heel." In this very early good news, it foreshadows all that Jesus and our Blessed Mother, and indeed the entire church, will do. That is, battle against evil, sin, error, division of all types, and death. But we are also given great hope. For as we heard even in today's opening prayer, that collect, that through the Paschal mystery we will participate in newness of life, that is, Christ will win. He will overcome sin and error and division and death. Now we, as Christians, through our baptism, are reborn in Christ. This we know. For those who are baptized into his death, as the blessed Apostle Paul tells us, will also share in his resurrection. This means we share in the Paschal mystery, the very life, the suffering, the death, the resurrection, and ascension of our Lord into heaven. But in some ways, this also means that we are born into Christ's nativity, his enfleshment. We then must take to heart all that our Blessed Mother teaches us, and also what we learn from her through the first Annunciation. We learn that our Blessed Mother's fidelity in God's promise to be ever near sustained her. It sustained her through her life, and it even brought her to stand strong at the foot of the cross, there, watching the death of her beloved son. She trusted God not because she had an easy life, but because she knew that God was her son, was, and is life. And anything apart from an intimate union with him, however comfortable or successful in the eyes of the world, is in the end only a disappointment. For us, this is one of the great joys, in fact, a privilege of being a Roman Catholic. For we do not have to take on the baggage or what is fashionable in our world, especially in our times. Rather, we are informed by error in our own age, by spirit and truth. We are confident in what we are given that can overcome the world. And in fact, our lives mingled with the reality that then is heightened by spirit and truth is how we go about cooperating with God to reorder the world. We also, in today's gospel, hear of a type of annunciation, an annunciation to St. Joseph, your great patron. The circumstances that give rise to Joseph's anxiety are certainly understandable, but there's also something else in the mix that we might not necessarily recognize. Joseph himself was a righteous man. He was therefore fully knowledgeable about what God had a plan to do, what God was preparing for, by means of which he would then send a Messiah, a Savior. Joseph knew that great man of God, just how much Israel hoped and longed for freedom, for liberty, for wholeness. Perhaps St. Joseph's deepest anxiety then was that if Mary was indeed the virgin who should bear the Messiah, then he was not necessarily worthy to be the husband of such a woman who was carrying Israel's hope, and indeed hope for all the world. As you are fully aware, this is the last Sunday of our preparation for Christmas, the anniversary of Christ's birth. Like Saint Joseph, we can feel unworthy of the honor of welcoming him into our hearts and into our homes. Well, it is true, we are indeed unworthy, but not because we have little of this world's goods, but because we have so little humility, so little charity, so little faith and trust in God's goodness. Today is a chance to let us try to imitate Saint Joseph and our Blessed Mother, the humblest of the humble, the kindliest of the kindly, and the greatest ever believers in God's goodness and mercy. We might not exactly ever be able to hope equally as they do, but we can humbly follow their example. For the feast of Christmas should draw the hearts of every child of God towards the furnace of God's divine love. In the manger, the infinite love of God is made present, real for us who are sinners. For in that manger is dramatically and forcefully portrayed before our eyes God's very merciful love. It is in that helpless baby, represented by a statue or a carving, a painting, or even some simple sort of cutout construction paper image, we know that the person and the power of the omnipotent creator and sustainer of the universe lie hidden. For he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. For us, for you, and for me. He became a creature like ourselves so that he would make us sharers in his divine nature. He came on earth to bring us to heaven, and he hid his divine nature so that he could cover us with it. Today, as we continue to strive to understand the ways in which Jesus comes to us, is present to us, I ask perhaps a way to grow deeper into understanding God's desire to be in communion with us would be to consider what significance does Jesus's becoming flesh have for us in terms of practical living. on a daily level, we are asked to encounter our Lord in such a way that we know of his nearness. So, I ask that we might pray to increase our love in his sacramental real presence, the Eucharist. Jesus himself, sacramentally, really present. Might we be able to visit him on occasion? Seek him out from time to time in Eucharistic adoration? The church is typically open, and you can come and visit him in the Blessed Sacrament Chapel. Perhaps a way to begin to grow in communion is to use the manger, the one you have at home or the one here at church, the ones you see all over the community. I encourage you to use the manger, for this is a helpful sign for what is truly real. So that the next time you present yourself to receive Holy Communion, hopefully that is today, you might be able to imagine yourself approaching that host that you will receive as if you were approaching the manger in Bethlehem. For us, the experience of what is the Eucharist is a reminder that it is not just an effect of Jesus or a love of the use of power. It is the real presence of Jesus, the one who saves, the one who leads us to life, the one who makes us whole. Ask for now that you may assimilate this truth and be open to whatever changes you see in your life. For as you grow in ever deepening union with our Blessed Lord, there will be change. Perhaps this also might come to you in the various angels that you might meet, or the voices from God that you hear in others, or in the community, or in the Word of God, or in the sacraments. Be not afraid of what it asks of you. For we are given great hope. For our Blessed Lord says, "Do this in memory of me." And what he is talking about is the holy sacrifice of the Mass, where today I will port my hands over the Eucharist and say the words of institution, and during that epiclesis, Christ will become present in our midst, Emmanuel, God with us. We are asked to grow and do nothing other in our fidelity and obedience to that reality and what it means. So as we get so very close to Christmas, let us ask to recognize the gift that the manger but alludes to, the gift of Christ really present, so that it might transform our lives, the lives of those we love and the world. The question is, will we let fear prevent that? Or will we follow the humility in the example of our Blessed Lady and of your great patron, Saint Joseph, and trust that God will fulfill his promises for each and every one of us?